In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Good morning, and welcome to Word for Life. I'm Pastor Joe Helm, one of the pastors at Brookside Baptist Church, and we're going to be with you here for a few mornings discussing a topic I think that is extremely important to every believer and to the church at large today. And we're going to start by looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 as a reminder, where Paul says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The Lord Jesus himself in John chapter 8, verse 44, said, "Ye are of your father the devil," as he was addressing Pharisees of his day. And he said, "The lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind that the scripture warns the believer that we are in an invisible war, and that master opponent is Satan, who is described very clearly here by the Lord Jesus himself as the father of all lies. He is a liar. Satan is a liar. Wherever and whenever God's truth is proclaimed, Satan is there sowing his falsehood, his error, his deception, his lies and distraction. This is most often, actually though, sadly enough, through people. Through carnal, contentious, fleshly people, and sadly enough, even including those that would profess to be believers in Christ, and even those in leadership. The New Testament is full of warnings and declarations about false teachers in the church. Now, false teachers were not unique to the New Testament. Israel, of course, was plagued by them continually throughout their history. Then we remember the words of warning from Jesus himself in Matthew 7, verse 15. He said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are really ravenous wolves." In fact, in the Olivet Discourse, Jesus warned that in the last days, there would be many false prophets that would arise and mislead and deceive many. And the implication there is that they would be misleading and deceiving even God's people. The Apostle Paul echoed these warnings in 2 Corinthians 11:13, when he said, "False prophets, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as the very messengers of Christ." The Apostle Peter called out the same warning in 2 Peter 2:1, saying that false teachers would be among you, secretly introducing destructive heresies. And then even the Apostle John joined in at the end of the New Testament era, and actually the end of his life on earth, when he said, "Many false prophets have gone out into the world." There's no question that false teachers are deadly dangerous. Their appearance is deceiving. They are often smooth, many times kind and unassuming, and even have winsome personalities. Paul, in fact, said in 2 Corinthians 11:15 that Satan's servants disguise themselves as the very servants of righteousness. They're subtle. They're clever in how they twist the scripture to their own ends. They're subtle and clever how they raise suspicion and even resentment against the truth. On the surface, they may sound biblical, but under the surface, they twist and adulterate the truth. There's just one example. Many of God's people have appreciated and loved the verse that says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." What a blessing. But the false teacher takes that wonderful truth, and over the years it's been twisted by numerous men and women with mystic meditation and spiritual formation movements. And so just an example of how the truth is twisted by false teachers. So where did these false teachers come from? Well, maybe we could go back and look in the book of Acts in chapter 20, verses 27 through 30, where the apostle Paul had called the Ephesian elders together to give them some final parting comments as he was going to make his way to Jerusalem. Timothy, at the time, was there with Paul in Ephesus, and Paul was leaving Timothy behind to continue pastoring the Ephesian church. And Paul said, starting in verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Paul had been with them for a number of years, and he was very meticulous in declaring and teaching to the Ephesian church all the counsel of God, he said. Then verse 28, he says to them, warning them, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock." He was, again, talking to the Ephesian elders, "over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this," Paul said, "that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." So he's warning them that grievous wolves, false teachers, were going to enter in. They were going to come in from outside the church to cause damage. But then verse 30, he also warns them about those that would arise from within. Verse 30, he says, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." In other words, fracturing the church. Interesting that John MacArthur believed that those whom Paul referred to here were in fact actual teachers right there, elders right there in the Ephesian church, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander were perhaps the ringleaders. This is what prompted Paul to then set out in chapter 3 the qualifications for elders and pastors, and then in chapter 5 directing that these sinning elders needed to be publicly rebuked and disciplined. Well, I think it seems pretty clear and likely that these false teachers in chapter 1, what Paul refers to as the deceivers, the disturbers, were indeed right there in the midst of the Ephesians church. And so Paul here, in giving instruction in 1 Timothy chapter 1, to Timothy as a young pastor, he's giving him instruction how to understand the need and the importance of dealing with these kind of disturbers of the faith, these kind of disruptors, and later specifically saying that their mouths must be stopped. And then number two, exhorting the believers within the church to make sure that they keep the main thing, the main thing. Fleeing folly and sin and feeding faith and growing in Christ. Just as a little background here, Paul and Timothy, again, were together in Ephesus for, it's believed to be, about 3 years. And as Paul begins to arrange his departure, they're surveying the situation and the needs, and Paul starts to urge Timothy that as he remains in Ephesus, that he has to deal with some of these issues. If you'll remember, Paul had done this same thing with Titus, leaving Titus in Crete and telling Titus that he was going to remain there to get things in order. And so the first thing that Paul talks to Timothy about here in the first chapter of 1 Timothy, verse 3, he says to Timothy, "As I, departing to Macedonia, urged you to remain in Ephesus in order that you might charge some to stop teaching differently and to stop giving heed or devoting attention to myths and endless genealogies, which are occasioning disputes rather than the stewardship of God in faith." And so the first thing Paul does here with Timothy in verses 3 and 4 is to instruct him and urge him about dealing with false teachers, dealing with the disturbers of the faith. Note first, in verses 3, the word urge. This is not just a suggestion or a good idea. Paul is passionately urging, compelling Timothy that he must press on in this important endeavor. This is the type of thing that requires immediate attention, immediate action. You can't let these things go and grow and build up and increase in pressure. It is crucial to the gospel. It is crucial to the faith of believers and to the unity and the harmony and the effectiveness of a local church body that false teachers and disturbers of the faith must be recognized and dealt with promptly. You know, I don't think it would be surprising for any believer to be reminded that the Bible is not just a Sunday afternoon novel. It's not just some inspirational reading, a pleasure reading, or some type of fanciful tales and stories and good advice. The Bible is a rescue manual. The Bible is a survival manual. It deals with the very issues of life and death. Remember in Pilgrim's Progress, as the traveler Christian first spots the Palace Beautiful in the distance? Do you remember what he also saw at the gate between him and the palace? Remember? Two ferocious lions, one on either side of the path. Do you remember what Christian's initial reaction was? Yes, fear. The path ahead, the path to the Palace Beautiful, was fraught with danger. But then there was a porter at the gate, and you remember what the porter said to him? The porter's name was Watchful, and the porter guarded the palace lodge. And in noticing that Christian hesitated, noticing that Christian appeared perhaps to be contemplating a retreat on the account of the prospect of death, these lions that were there, he called out to Christian and he said to him, "Are your strength and courage so small? Don't be afraid of the lions, since they are in fact chained. Their being there is for the purpose of testing your faith at this point in your journey, as well as for the discovery of those who are faithless. So keep in the middle of the path, and you will not be harmed." And so here's the point in today's message. Number one, false teachers abound. They're everywhere. We must observe them. And we must understand, though, that they are chained because we have the path of the Word of God ahead of us. And if we stay in that path, in the middle of the path, in the Word of God, we will be protected. And so, until next time, remember, stay within the guidelines of the Word of God. Stay within the hedges, and your way will be kept pure, Psalm 119:9. Until then, thank you for tuning in, and we'll pick this back up on our next visit together.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.